Presidential election last week came down to the wire in Wisconsin, with President-elect Joe Biden coming out ahead by about 20,000 votes. That's kind of like the close finish here in the 2016 election, but President Trump came out over 20,000 votes ahead, and in a lot of elections before that. In fact, four out of the last six presidential elections in Wisconsin have been decided by less than 1%. Two big exceptions came in the middle of that run, with big wins by Barack Obama in the state. We're looking at what's changed in the state over that time, what stayed the same, and why close elections have become the rule rather than the exception. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Why do you think Wisconsin is such a close-run state come presidential election time? Have you noticed the political mood in your part of the state change over time? And are you somebody who usually votes Republican but voted for Barack Obama, or usually votes Democrat but voted for Donald Trump? Love to hear your story. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Craig Gilbert is Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Craig, good to have you back.
It's nice to be with you.
Well, here's my kind of setup for this conversation, Craig. You know, Donald Trump won, of course, in 2016 in Wisconsin. And I think he was looked at as the outlier, the only Republican to win the state in a long time. And so a lot of us were trying to explain why that was. So that makes sense. But then, you know, you look at the normal elections here in the state, so close, within 1% this year, 4 years ago, and before Barack Obama. But then Barack Obama wins by big margins. Maybe he's the outlier we should be studying. 6 points, 14-point wins. What do you think?
Well, I think he is the outlier. I mean, aside from how close all these elections have been, you know, the only time a presidential nominee in Wisconsin has gotten 50% of the vote, even or higher, since 1988 is Barack Obama. Nobody else has done it. So that tells you how evenly divided the state has been. It also tells you kind of how exceptional Barack Obama's performance was in those two elections. They're also really the only examples in modern times of Wisconsin kind of voting significantly to the left of the country as a whole. You know, in fact, now we're in a period when Wisconsin is voting pretty consistently a little bit to the right of the national popular vote, which the way the Electoral College works happens to put us, you know, kind of right there on the tipping point. But I do think Barack Obama doesn't sort of fit in to these other patterns. You know, I've had a lot of conversations over the years with people in both parties about why they think that may be true. And the answers, you know, range from everything to just, you know, his particular political skill set to even, you know, the fact that he's from next door Illinois and you know, a Midwestern candidate. You know, it's a little bit mysterious, but I do think that you're right. The Obama elections gave us a little bit of a false picture of Wisconsin. And, you know, when we think about all those communities and all those counties in Wisconsin that voted for Obama and then voted for Trump, you know, some of them are purple counties, but some of them are Republican counties where Barack Obama just overperformed as a Democrat.
And I think it gave people, you mentioned, kind of maybe a false impression, especially after 2008, when you had Wisconsin going for a Democratic president, Democrats having control of all of state government. That really covered up the close nature of the state, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that was a wave election. So I think it was understood even at the time that it was a wave election. And I mean, if you looked at the map, I mean, basically the whole state practically was blue, including a lot of counties that, you know, don't normally vote Democratic. So I don't think Democrats were under any illusions. But again, it wasn't just that it was a wave election nationally. It was that Barack Obama, I mean, he won the state by 14 points. So he won it by a significantly larger margin than he won the national popular vote. And again, that happened on a lesser scale again in 2012. So it was even in relation to the rest of the country, you know, he had these big, big victories here. You know, you can look at the Obama side of the equation. You can also look at the Republican side of the equation. I mean, his opponents, you know, John McCain and Mitt Romney, it's just possible that they weren't particularly great fits for Wisconsin. I mean, we've talked a lot about how Wisconsin's demographics, you know, an unusually large blue collar white vote. Probably not a group that Mitt Romney naturally appeals to. And Donald Trump comes along and really sort of speaks to that group in a different way and does much better than Mitt Romney. So it's not just who the Democratic candidate is, it's also who the Republican candidate is.
Talking to Craig Gilbert from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about how Wisconsin votes in presidential elections, usually very close, with the exception of Barack Obama recently. And we'll look at how different parts of the state, different regions have changed over time. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Kevin is with us in Cornell, Michigan. Kevin, hi.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. What do you want to tell us about?
Well, you know, listen, I am... I mean, typically I've been a Democratic voter for the last probably 20 years. But I have flip-flopped a couple times if I think the candidate is better. And I voted for Donald Trump last time in 16, with my only hope being that the Republicans would come together and see how ridiculous he is, because the rhetoric that he spouts all the time drives me insane. But I could not get behind Hillary Clinton. Somehow or another, we're all tired of the same thing. And we're looking for people to come together and get to the middle and get some stuff solved. Because, God, we need help here.
So don't keep us in suspense, Kevin. 2016, you went Trump. 2020, if you're willing to share?
Oh, this year? Absolutely, Biden, all day long.
Okay.
I can't stand to listen to Donald Trump talk ever again. If I never hear his voice again, I will be totally happy.
Kevin, thanks a lot for the call. Craig, it doesn't take many people like Kevin to have flipped an election to and then away from Donald Trump, right?
No, it doesn't. But I do think the overwhelming share of people that voted for Donald Trump last time voted for him again. I mean, I'm sure that's true. There aren't a lot of switchers. I mean, but, you know, if you look at the 2016 election, you had a 6% of the people that voted for a third party candidate. So part of the equation this time around was what did they do? And then we also had a much higher turnout, which meant that people that didn't vote at all in 2016 played a role in this election. So I think there were probably more, you know, people that switched from Trump in 2016 to Biden in 2020 than people that switched from Clinton in 2016 to Trump in 2020. But at the same time, you know, and there were probably people that voted third party in 2016. I've talked to some of them that voted for both, you know, either candidate in 2020. But then a big component this time around were the new voters. And we know that, you know, some of them were Democrats, but a lot of them were Republicans. I mean, there was a big turnout spike in this election. And the counties, if you look at the map, that had the biggest increase in turnout proportionately were kind of smaller, mostly rural counties where Donald Trump won by sizable margins. That's where you saw a lot of the increase in turnout. We didn't see any increase in turnout or very little increase in turnout in Milwaukee County and none in the city of Milwaukee.
Let's bring out another caller. Jeff with us now in Superior. Jeff, hi.
Hi, I just want to point out that in the pantheon of American presidents, John F. Kennedy visited Superior in 1960 and he won. George H.W. Bush visited Superior and he won in 1988. And Trump visited Superior in 2016. Those three men were all elected president, and I think Superior is a good luck charm.
Craig, there you have it. I mean, we could throw these numbers away. Visit Superior. It's the road to the White House. What do you think?
Yeah, I am all for that. Superior is a great place to go. I have a grandfather who grew up next door in Duluth, and I had a grandfather, and Superior is an interesting place politically. I mean, that whole region of Wisconsin where you've got that little Democratic belt of three counties in mostly kind of a sea of red that remains blue and remains Democratic. I know you wanted to talk about some of the changes in the map, and a lot of counties across central and northern Wisconsin have gotten redder in the Trump elections, and even to some degree in the midterm elections, while other parts of Wisconsin have gotten bluer.
Yeah, where, so you mentioned these rural counties that Donald Trump performed well in 2016. He solidified or even improved in those places. Where did Democrats see their biggest gains?
Well, there's sort of two ways to look at this. If you look at it in terms of percentage points, you know, the way the margin changed, the two biggest swings away from the Republicans were the same counties that had the biggest swings away from Republicans in 2016. And that was Ozaukee County and Waukesha County, two red counties in southeastern Wisconsin that are Republican, but have gotten less Republican in the Trump years. So they had the biggest swings away from Donald Trump this time, just like last time. But if you look at it in terms of raw votes, which is really what matters, you know, when we're talking about winning a presidential election, where were the big net gains for the Democratic Party? The biggest was Dane County, where Democrats actually had a net gain of about 35,000 votes, which is by itself, you know, easily more, you know, enough to swing the election for Biden, since Trump only won by a little under 23,000 last time. And then you had in Milwaukee County, you had a swing of about 20,000 votes. And then after that, in Waukesha, you had a swing of about 7,000 or 8,000 votes. We've talked about Waukesha. But in Dane and Milwaukee County, you know, there were three places where we saw those shifts. There was the city of Madison. There was the rest of Dane County, which is basically the suburbs of Madison. And then in the suburbs of Milwaukee within Milwaukee County. So the rest of Milwaukee County, when you take the city of Milwaukee out of the picture, you saw, additional swings toward the Democratic Party across, you know, these Milwaukee County suburbs. So I think it's really fair to say that Donald Trump lost this election mostly in the blue suburbs of Madison and Milwaukee.
We continue our talk with Craig Gilbert, Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, looking at why Wisconsin's presidential elections often come down to the wire, why they're close, and how things are changing in regions around the state. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Craig, let's look at the third big population center of Wisconsin, Green Bay, and the Fox Cities, that corridor up there. What did we see this time around?
So the three major counties of the Fox Valley, Brown County, Outagamie County, and Winnebago County, all voted for Donald Trump, but by smaller margins than they did in 2016. So together, those three counties, you had about an 8,000 vote shift toward the Democrats, net shift simply by virtue of the fact that Donald Trump's winning margin in those places was smaller than it was in 2016. So that was a contributor, but not nearly enough by itself to swing the election to Joe Biden.
Let's bring on another caller now. Jim is with us in Janesville. Jim, hi.
See, I'm always curious as to why in Wisconsin, as well as any states with large metro areas, why do the large cities tend to always seem to be very Democratic? I find that kind of fascinating. Is it What is it about having a group of people in a condensed metropolitan area that makes them almost without question US-wide be Democratic? I find that fascinating.
Interesting, Jim. A good fundamental question there, Craig. What do we know?
Well, I mean, you know, there's two ways to look at that. You can say, what is it about being in a city that makes you Democratic? But you can also look at it as, you know, who wants to live in cities, or who lives in cities, or who's attracted to cities? I think, you can look at it both ways, and they both provide insight. I mean, this is a very strong pattern, obviously, not only a strong pattern in our politics, but an increasingly strong pattern. I mean, we all know that urban areas, have become increasingly blue. They've been blue for a long time. And just as rural areas have become increasingly red, it's demographics. Cities have a different, you know, they're more diverse. They have a different population mix. And there's a lot of, you know, evidence again, that people, you know, people who people self-select to some degree in the kinds of places they want to live. And, you know, cities attract, appear to attract people that are Democratic voters. You know, even with all the changes we've seen in a city like Milwaukee, you know, one of the things that happened in Milwaukee, if you go back several decades, was what was known at the time as white flight, where you had voters leaving the city and moving to the suburbs, and in some cases making the suburbs more conservative and making the cities more liberal when they left. Cities are always going through these demographic changes. And actually, you know, in this election, the city of Milwaukee didn't really contribute very much at all to the shift from a narrow Trump victory to a narrow Biden victory. In fact, you know, Joe Biden basically won the city of Milwaukee by almost the exact same margin that Hillary Clinton won it by. Turnout didn't increase. So it's kind of ironic that even though some of the baseless claims that have been made about irregularities in this vote have pointed toward the city of Milwaukee or the city of Philadelphia or the city of Detroit in Michigan and Philadelphia in Pennsylvania, when in fact we know from looking at the vote returns that it wasn't the cities, those cities where Joe Biden flipped those states, because those cities basically performed the same way they did in this election as they did 4 years ago. It was the suburbs where the vote changed and in a material way contributed to the shifts from red to blue in those states.
Time for one more caller. Bethany is with us in West Bend. Bethany, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
What do you want to bring up?
Through in a while. I just wanted to bring up that I really feel that the reason that some of the change has occurred in the voting is due to the fact that people are educated, and I think it's been an insult to the intelligence of our communities and our state and in our local even area that people wouldn't think deeper than what has been presented over the last 4 years. I mean, even from the perspective of being able to present and stand in front of people and give well thought out policy and procedure and factual information. It's just really, honestly, I have felt insulted every day when I have listened to this person represent our country and who we are. And I am so glad to see that people saw that and experienced it and have realized that this is not good for any of us. So.
Bethany, thanks a lot for the call. I mean, there's a lot of question about how much the personality, the presentation of Donald Trump might have steered away voters. Craig, is there any way we're ever going to be able to measure that?
Well, not with any great precision. I mean, you know, sort of anecdotally talking to voters, you know, we've all talked to voters, you know, Republican-leaning and conservative-leaning voters who felt conflicted over Donald Trump because they had problems with his tweets or they had problems with his personality. They had problems with his behavior, but they liked, you know, A, they may have liked his policies. They may have liked all of his policies. And B, you know, if you're a conservative or a Republican, you really don't want to vote for a Democratic candidate. And so in many cases, that drove those voters back to Donald Trump, even if they had qualms. A smaller number of people that, you know, that liked his policies but could not get past those personal qualms and didn't vote for him. And didn't vote for him either in 2016 or in 2020. But the exact mix, I mean, most people kind of vote with their, you know, with their side, with their party, right or left. And they kind of live with their qualms if they have qualms.
Briefly, Craig, what questions are unanswered from you so far coming out of 2020?
Well, I think we did see a big increase in turnout. The turnout was bigger again in sort of smaller Republican counties. You know, there's some evidence in the exit polls that this electorate was actually several points more Republican than Democratic, which I'm not sure I believe because it's hard to imagine Donald Trump losing an election in Wisconsin where the electorate was more Republican than Democratic. But I have more questions about the turnout, just about the mix. In terms of the vote. And of course, you know, how enduring are some of these patterns and trends that we've been seeing? We've seen them now for several cycles. Are they going to endure past past the Donald Trump years in terms of this kind of, the rural areas marching onward toward the Republican side and the suburban areas continuing to erode for Republicans. And Donald Trump even made some small inroads in the cities among Latino voters, particularly. Are these trends enduring? So those are the big questions in my mind. We've seen some pretty powerful trends that have kind of offset each other in Wisconsin. But, how durable are those trends?
And Craig, a fun fact that you may already know, the biggest vote share for any presidential candidate in Wisconsin history, if I'm reading this right, 1920, Warren G. Harding, 71.1% of the vote. Craig, can any candidate recapture that Warren Harding magic in this era?
I think six out of the last eight, or maybe it's either six out of the last eight or eight out of the last 10 presidential nominees in Wisconsin haven't even reached 50%, including the winners, with Barack Obama being the only exception. So that kind of tells you a lot about where we're at as a state, how evenly divided the state is. So I don't think we're going to get back up into the 70-point territory, much less even the high or mid-50s.
Craig, thanks a lot for joining us.
Great to be with you.
That's Craig Gilbert with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, looking at the close finish in last week's presidential election and the bigger picture of changes in Wisconsin.